Okay, first agenda item, number one, discussion and possible action on determination of interruptible water presented by Brad Brunett, Water Service Manager.
Mr. Chairman, before Brad gets up to get a briefing, we told Debbie that they here again about the, if the situation changed, we have to make sure you to get permission to sell interruptible water for this year. So we're in the process of that. It's changed. I did a pre-brief on this on Friday, and the numbers have changed already again since that pre-brief. One of the other major contributing factors that said that we needed to do it now, we could wait until April for our next meeting, was that there's a group of folks down in the southern area who's in some cases had some rain. But I looked this morning on the LCRA list, for example, and where you're going to say how we've gone up a little bit. Certain places less than 50 miles from our borders, or the basin borders, didn't go up at all. They didn't get that much rain. So it's kind of specific of where you are. But anyway, we were in a telephone conversation with a group of people from down south, particularly some rice farmers, who needed a decision by the board to see if they could get some interruptible water. They get it through going through one of our customers, Gulf Coast, through the canal system, and that's the way they obtain some of the water. We're going to tell you about the contracts, what we've had available, our conservative approach. I've already been asked this morning, since it's raining, can we sell more? We're going to talk to you about that and show what we've been asked for to date, and go forward and tell you about a plan. And there's methods to our madness, so Brad will do a far better job than me explaining.
Thank you, Phil. Good morning. And it is good to get to be here today because it means that we've had rainfall. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, and we're in a lot better shape. And over the last 3 months, I've had a hard time keeping up with changing the projections and updating forecasts. We've received so much rain. So that's a good thing. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide, and let's talk about interruptible water. This is just kind of a review of what interruptible water is. And before we understand what interruptible water is, let me just remind you on how we supply our long-term customers with what we call firm yield water. Most of all of our long-term contracts are written against the firm yield of our system. And when you talk about firm yield of a reservoir from the system, what you're talking about is how much water the reservoir could supply each year and make it through a multi-year drought. And in most cases, it's the drought of the 50s, and the drought of record for most of our reservoirs lasts from anywhere from 3 to 7 or 8 years. And so when you talk about firm yield, it's how much can you take out each year and make it through that 3 or 5 or 7 year period, or whatever the case may be for that reservoir. When we talk about interruptible water, what we're talking about in terms of how we define interruptible water today and within the context of what we're talking to you about today, it's essentially water that wasn't used in the last year, previous years. So in other words, if we have a reservoir that has a firm yield of 10,000 acre feet per year and the drought of record for that reservoir is 3 years, we could take out 10,000 acre feet in year one, 10,000 in year two, and then 10,000 again in year three and not run out of water, okay? If we only take 5,000 acre feet out in year one, when we get to year two, we've still got our 10,000 from year two, but there was a little bit of unused water from the previous year, and so that's what we're talking about, is that unused water from the previous year. It's not a perfect science or an exact calculation, and so therefore we've got a procedure we go through to calculate that number, and we apply a safety factor to it to account for the uncertainty. But that's what we're talking about when we talk about interruptible water. It's that unused water from previous years. We began selling interruptible water in 2008, and it replaced what we had previously sold as one-year water and short-term water. We've been selling it for about 5 years now, and we offer contract terms for that water from anywhere from 1 to 5 years. Historically, most customers come and buy it in the middle of the year just to get through the remainder of the current year. We do have some that have bought it for multi-year terms, as many as 5 years, but historically it's been shorter terms, and I think with the drought behind us, we're likely to see that change. I think people are going to be in the insurance buying mode with the drought fresh on their mind, and that the terms of some of those agreements may go beyond 1 year with the next round. I mentioned the safety factor that we apply to the calculation. It's a 75% factor of safety. Typically, we bring this to you each October, and we've got a defined interruptible water sale procedure where we calculate the number, and each October we come to you, make a recommendation, and then you guys set the amount of interruptible water that's going to be available for the next calendar year. Another important thing about these agreements is that we can curtail use under them if any reservoir or part of the system reaches stage three of our drought contingency plan. The contracts are called interruptible, and they truly are interruptible, that if we get in a bind and in a situation, frankly, like we were last year, where we were a year into something far worse than anything that we had ever seen, we do have a lever to curtail use under these contracts. Let's go to the next slide. This is a slide, if you recall, you may have remember seeing something like this in the October board meeting, and this actually shows where we make interruptible water available. And we could have some reservoirs where we have interruptible water and others where we don't. So it's location dependent whenever you're looking at the entire basin with regard to how much is available. This is a slide we showed you at the October board meeting last year. And you can see the middle column is actually when we went through our procedure and calculated the water according to our procedure, applying the safety factor. That middle column is what we arrived at last October. You can see it totals about 85,813 acre feet. The column on the right is what we actually recommended that you authorize last October because of the severe drought that we were in. And if we go back to October of last year, Lake Somerville was in a stage three drought emergency condition. I believe Proctor and Limestone were in a stage two drought warning, and the system as a whole was rapidly approaching stage two. If you remember the inflow chart that I've shown you several times, that our inflows were well below anything that we've seen in the last 100 years. And so we were in uncharted territory. 7 of our 11 reservoirs had reached historic lows. And so that was the reason that we had recommended that we make a limited quantity available. And so that 8477 is what we had actually recommended. The next slide. Again, the first bullet, that's what we recommended to you, and y'all approved that last October, and we told you that we wouldn't sell additional water unless conditions improved, which they have significantly, and that's why we're here today. Next slide. This is, again, outdated. I've been having trouble keeping this up to date, but if you look at our system, here we were showing 85% full. Whenever we're all said and done from the rain over the weekend, we're going to be over 90%. Lake Whitney is going to fill completely up. Belton is going to get really close if it doesn't fill all the way up. Lake Limestone is already full. We started flood releases there this morning. And Lake Somerville is less than a foot from being full. And it was the one that was really in the worst shape from the drought last year. So we've significantly improved almost everywhere. The couple of areas that we haven't are here at Stillhouse Hollow in Georgetown. And for whatever reason, they just haven't received the runoff that we've seen in other parts of the basin. It's really ironic, you know, you can look at the watershed here for Lake Belton, and it's right next door to Stillhouse Hollow, and we've caught a bunch of water in Lake Belton dating back to last October, but Stillhouse, for whatever reason, just hasn't received the rain. And PK as well. PK is up about a foot from what it was last week. It's about 4.5 feet low. It's still got some room to go, but it's getting close to 90% full and is in, you know, pretty good shape relative to where it was last year. One thing I want to point out, because on the next slide is a projection that I'm going to show you that doesn't take into account one thing that I think is significant, and that's Lake Whitney. Lake Whitney contains a power pool that the federal government uses to generate hydroelectricity. And I've told you before, and I think the footnote up here shows that BRA has a relatively small volume of storage in Lake Whitney. It's about 50,000 acre feet is all that we control, yet that lake holds about 550,000 acre feet. The federal government's power pool, when it's full, holds 180,000 acre feet. And that power pool is not under contract to BRA or any other water right provider for that matter. It's strictly for hydroelectricity. But one thing that it does, whenever it's full, they typically use that hydropower to generate electricity during the peak demands early in the morning on winter time, in the wintertime when it's really cold, and then when we get to the summer, they'll use it in the afternoon. They'll turn those generators on from, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 o'clock at night when everybody's air conditioner's running. And that puts water in the river for downstream water right holders like Dow and Gulf Coast Water Authority and others to be able to use. And what's significantly different about this year as opposed to last year is that space in Lake Whitney is totally full. It's got all 180,000 acre-feet of water in it, whereas last year at this time it had less than 10,000. And so what that means is over the course of the summer, all of that water is going to be released, or not all of it, but a good part of it will be released. What doesn't evaporate, essentially, will be released. Even if it stopped raining today, it would take most of the summer for the power pool to be depleted, and that's going to put flow into the river that wasn't there last year, which is going to reduce the need for us to make releases for those customers downstream, because there's essentially 180,000 acre feet of water that's in play that wasn't there last year. So that's important when we talk about this year versus last year. Next slide. Again, this projection is outdated. If you could just mentally on your with your eye just shift everything up about 100,000 acre feet, you'll be closer to what we really are. This is the storage that we have in the entire system. The black represents where we've been, where we were last year, where we got to at the worst part of the drought, and where we've been rising since. And like I said, now we're up in this area here somewhere. The blue line represents what would happen if we just had normal rainfall for the rest of the year. So if we have normal rainfall, we'll almost entirely fill up, and the system will stay relatively full through most of the year. The green line shows what would happen if we had 25% of normal, or between less than normal but better than worst case. It's kind of a dry scenario, but not terribly dry. And even under that scenario, the system will stay in pretty good shape. The red line there is the projections that we showed to our customers at the drought meetings a couple of weeks ago. And again, we've increased our storage today, so you can shift that up about 100 to 200,000 acre feet above what it is. And also, that red line is conservative in that we didn't take into account the fact that all that water is in Lake Whitney that wasn't there last year. And we just chose not to do that, to be really conservative. When we were talking to the customers, the last thing that we want to do is give them hope or optimism for something that may or may not happen. So we tend to be a little bit conservative on that worst case, just to make sure that it truly is worst case. The silver dashed line, you don't see it on the legend down there. It looks like it got chopped off, but that's the magnitude of the interruptible water that we're talking about selling today. So if we sell, if y'all authorize us to sell all the interruptible water that we're talking about today, it's basically the difference between the red line and the silver dashed line is what we're talking about. And again, look at that difference more so than where they are on the graph, because technically I think they're well above where I've shown them here. Right, yeah, the silver line is the same scenario as the red line, only it's got the interruptible water taken out of it, and it also doesn't take into account that Lake Whitney is as full as it is. Let's go to the next one. So we're back to this chart that I showed you all ago, only now I've got a third column added onto the right side that shows how much the balance that we have left to sell. And back in October, when we made the 8,477 acre feet available, we told you that if we did come back to make additional water available, that we would be talking about that balance. And so whenever you subtract column two from column one, what you get is what we show there in column three. Almost 53,000 acre feet of the water is in the Possum Kingdom Granbury Whitney portion of the system. You can see how it spread through the other segments of the system with this amount. This 14,000 here is the Little River system, and then the other reservoirs that are on tributaries of their own.
Brad, is there a reason why we are just having such a small amount coming out of the PK Granbury Whitney? Is it because of lake levels or something that we're not using that? Because that's a lot of interruptible water. That's the majority of it.
Are you talking about why
this number? Yeah, the balance after you make your calculation.
Well, when we calculated it with the method where we go and we take last year's water use, or we look at the current firm yield of the reservoir system and we subtract essentially last year's water use, and then we apply that 75% safety factor. When we do that calculation, this is the number that we got.
Right.
And so when we actually looked at how much water we were going to make available back in October because of the drought, and because if you recall, we had the issue with the controlled outlet conduit and the hydropower not being there, that if we would have continued on under the situation that we were under, we were going to find ourselves with the inability to release water out of Possum Kingdom because physically we were going to be constrained. And so that's, you know, one of those things that that 75% safety factor takes into account. So unless we change the calculation and the safety factor, this is the number as it came out in the calculation. That's how much we already have committed, and so this is what we're looking at remaining for this year. Next slide.
I have a question. Our Whitney storage has gone up significantly. Wasn't that about 50,000? What's our Whitney storage, about 50,000?
Our total storage in Whitney is 50,000, and by the end of the week, it's going to be 100% full.
We had taken that all the way down.
Yes.
Be a similar picture here before we start taking PK and Cranberry?
Yes, we would use Whitney first to the extent that we can because it's closer and it's more efficient to use it that way. Next slide. We've been talking about the supply side of it. I wanted to show you this to show you as far as the requests that we've received, who's requesting the interruptible water that we're here talking about today. And this slide shows the total of the requests that we have in to date. You can see that they total 124,746 acre-feet, with most of that being Gulf Coast Water Authority and Dow. And then the difference there, what's not Gulf Coast Water Authority and Dow, is a little over 16,000 acre-feet, and there are about 34 entities that's spread over. So you're looking at that 124,000 number and saying, well, that's, you know, 50,000 acre-feet more than what we have available, and you're right. What we're going to talk about in a further agenda item later today is authorization of assignments. If you recall last summer, we have some customers that have significantly more water under contract than they're using today. And last summer, we allowed those customers to temporarily assign some of that water to others that needed it. And so I think we can pretty much take care of the difference. It's about 47,410 acre feet that were short. You know, just looking at the 77,000 total that we're talking about making available versus this request, I think the assignments will take care of a lot of that. And to be honest with you, I don't figure that many of these people that have asked for water will go away, but with the rain that we've had over the weekend, you know, it's likely that some of these folks may reduce their request or are not needed as much. Another thing that I mentioned a little bit earlier ago is I think most entities are in the mode of buying water for insurance purposes right now. And if we hadn't had 2011 last year, I don't think that we would be selling any interruptible water right now. It's just because the drought is so fresh on everyone's mind, and there's such a concern that we could have that again. So I really think there's a high likelihood that what the water that we authorize to sell under interruptible agreements today, if y'all choose to do that, as well as the assignments, very little of that water is going to end up getting used because things are in such good shape now, and all that water that's stored in Lake Whitney is going to make it down the river. So I think we're looking at insurance water as opposed to a real need for this water, which is the case we had last year where it actually all got used. Next slide. So our recommendation to you on this item on the interruptible water is to give Phil the authorization to enter contracts for that remaining balance that we have there. You know, that'll get us a long way down the road for the rest of this year, and we'll be talking about the assignments in the next agenda item after this. So any questions?
Is interruptible water take it or pay also?
Yes.
They're only requesting this, but they're not committing to pay for it if they don't use it.
No, they pay for it. It's take or pay.
Okay, that's what I was trying to say. Okay.
The one slight caveat to that is, let's say if we sold all of this water to customers that contracted for multiple years, let's say we sold the 77,000 for 5-year contracts to everyone. Whenever we come to you in October of this year looking at how much water to make available for 2013, if we don't have enough water to fully honor those contracts, we reduce them pro rata, and they would only be required to pay for what we're offering in 2013. Yes,
ma'am. Do we enter into 5-year contracts on all of them? Is that
no? We offer terms up to 5 years, and the concept there is that's kind of within the range of the drought of record for most reservoirs. But typically, most customers have historically only buy them for the remainder of the year. We've got a few that have 4 or 5 year contracts, but most of them historically haven't chosen to do that because it does obligate them to pay take or pay for that full term.
And that's at the system-wide rate?
Yes, sir. It's the system rate for non-agricultural use. If we sell water to agricultural users, and I think we've got probably on the order of 40 to 50,000 acre feet of our request are for agricultural use, it would be sold at the agricultural rate, which is, I think, 75% of system rate.
The Dow is at what rate, though? The Dow Chemical is not at that
system. Correct. Rate. There's 6250, that system rate Dow would be.
Their own system. Our system rate?
Right. Yeah, Dow would
not,
pay our
not
system.
Not their
rate.
Normal. Okay.
Right.
What's their normal rate?
The new normal rate is $62.50. Historically, when we were offering one-year water years ago, it was $6 an acre foot. But we've changed to these new agreements, and it's system rate now.
Yeah, the old contract.
Oh, their old contract.
It's still there. It's about $16, isn't it?
Right, and if they were to use that water, it would increase it up to $20-something an acre foot. Their long-term contract is a two-tier contract. They've never activated it. They pay $16 per acre foot for that water unactivated. If they were to activate all of it, it would increase the rate up to $20-something per acre foot. So it's still far below our system rate. Right, yeah. Phil's reminding me that contract and some others like it are the result of the rate case that we went through in the late 80s, early 90s. We've got a resolution for you to consider if there aren't any other questions.
Read the resolution, please.
Okay. Whereas, in accordance with the Brazos River Authority interruptible water sale procedure, the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority originally considered the sale of 2012 interruptible water at its October 2011 board meeting, and whereas a total of 85,813 acre-feet of interruptible water was calculated for consideration at the October 2011 board meeting, and whereas due to the unprecedented drought conditions in effect in October 2011, the board limited authorization of 2012 interruptible water sales to 8,477 acre-feet, which was the amount required to honor existing interruptible water availability agreements whose terms extended beyond December 31, 2011, and whereas the potential for authorizing the sale of the remaining balance of 2012 interruptible water, 77,336 acre-feet, at a later date was acknowledged if substantial improvement in drought conditions occurred, and whereas substantial improvement in drought conditions has occurred with reservoir storage increasing over 400,000 acre-feet since October 2011. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby determines that the remaining balance of 77,336 acre-feet of interruptible water can be made available for sale in calendar year 2012, and be it further resolved by the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority that the General Manager / CEO is hereby authorized to enter into interruptible water availability agreements for the use of this water, which shall be sold at the current system rate per acre foot, except for water for agricultural use, as that term is defined in Chapter 11 of the Texas Water Code, which shall be sold at the current agricultural rate.
You heard a reading of the resolution. Is there a motion to adopt?
Second
by Venice. You got the one. Carolyn.
Presiding Officer Scott.
Yes.
Director Adams.
Yes.
Director Bell.
Yes.
Director Belt.
Yes.
Director Bennis.
Yes.
Director Borland.
Yes.
Director Christensen.
Yes.
Director Christian.
Yes.
Director Creel.
Yes.
Director Johnson.
Yes.
Director Mackey.
Yes.
Director Munson.
Yes.
Director Rankin.
Yes.
Director Tallis.
Yes.
Director Tesh.
Yes.
Director Zaccanino.
Yes.
Okay.